From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. We now have a better idea of what insurer AIG did with the $170 billion it's gotten from the U.S. government. Most is already gone, passed on to the big U.S. and European banks with whom it was doing business. Under mounting political pressure, AIG yesterday disclosed the names of those institutions and how much they received. The release of this counterparty list highlights some key elements of the AIG story, as NPR's Tom Gelton reports.
Many of the big banks that received AIG bailout money had gotten the insurance company to guarantee their mortgage investments. AIG couldn't make good on its promises, so it fell to the U.S. government to compensate the banks for their losses. Simon Johnson of the Peterson Institute for International Economics says the disclosure of who AIG did business with shows that U.S. and European authorities allowed a huge transatlantic credit casino to get established.
It's the interwovenness of the U.S. financial institutions, both banking and insurance, with the big, massive European banks. That's exactly what got us into this degree of trouble. And it's fixing the problem on both sides of the Atlantic that's going to be central to getting out of the problem.
Germany's Deutsche Bank and France's Société Générale each got close to $12 billion of the bailout package. Britain's Barclays Bank got about $8.5 billion. For them and other European banks, the AIG insurance served a dual purpose. Not only did it protect their mortgage security investments, under their banking rules, it also meant they didn't have to set aside as much money to cover losses, so they were free to make other risky investments. Peter Morisi, a business professor at the University of Maryland, says the arrangement shows that European regulators were as remiss as U.S. regulators when it came to overseeing their banks.
Unfortunately, a cozy relationship has developed between the Treasury and Wall Street banks and between financial ministries around the world and their banks. And it's very unhealthy, and it's led to the crisis that we're having.
French Finance Minister Christine Lagarde is said to have placed an urgent telephone call last fall to then-Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson, warning him that if he allowed AIG to collapse, it would endanger French banks. The disclosure of the insurance company's so-called counterparty list helps complete the picture of what lay behind Treasury's decision to bail out AIG. Simon Johnson says more such revelations are needed.
We need to know who called whom, what kind of representations they made, and we need to really understand the ins and outs of the decision-making process around what was done with AIG. I'm not saying that anything untoward happened whatsoever, but it's important to really understand how this came to pass and to make sure that we build a system that really cannot do anything like this ever again.
Johnson says he's disappointed that few new agreements seem to have come from last weekend's meeting of finance ministers from the G20 countries. He blames European governments in particular for not accepting more responsibility for the global financial crisis and for being slow to agree on an approach for resolving it. U.S. officials worry that as more becomes known about the U.S. government bailout of AIG, there could be an anti-European backlash. But Peter Morisi of the University of Maryland says in this case, it would be unfair to have expected European governments to join in the bailout.
AIG is an American company. The U.S. government decided that it would back up AIG. It's selling. It's going to have access to all the AIG's assets. It's going to sell them off. So I think this is really a U.S. responsibility.
Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke, interviewed last night on the CBS program 60 Minutes, provided a bit more context for last fall's decisions. At that time, Bernanke said, "I thought we were pretty close to a global financial meltdown." Tom Gelton, NPR News, Washington.